we're going through Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, and I really don't want to go through the whole chapter because there's some things that I think is important for us to kind of take a look at, even though it may be laborious, because there's some things that showed up right here in the 12th chapter, which has not shown up in any place else in the Torah. And so we're going to talk about those issues, if I use that terminology. I hate to use that word. But talk about, find out why it is written there at this point in time in the book of Deuteronomy. So I would like for Deuteronomy to read up to verse 7 only. So real short, this part.
These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord your God of your fathers is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you.
Now, in the very first sentence, he makes a statement. These are the statutes and the judgments. So now we're going to go in the book of Deuteronomy and we're going to find out what those judgments are and what those statutes are that would appear to have been already written in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. We have a different scenario here, if I can use. Remember, this is 40 years afterwards. And sometimes we need to kind of remember that it's 40 years now, and they're at this point in time of entering in. So we will look at it, and he says, now where Yahuwah, Elohim, thy fathers, gave to possess it. So God gave them the land to possess it. We've already have learned that God says, this is my land, but I don't want to go in there because it's too filthy. So clean it up. Now, let's read the very first thing. Verse 2, you shall destroy all the places where wherein the nations which ye shall possess and serve their Elohim upon the high mountains, upon the hills, upon every green tree, or under every green tree. Okay, now is that a statute or is that a judgment? You say it's a judgment. Someone says it's a statute. Is it a statute or is it a judgment? You're right, it's both. Two things are taking place. In the Word of God, you cannot have a statute without something happening when the statute is to be instituted. All right? And generally comes out to being a judgment. Now, in our English language, we don't like the word judgment, do we? It's always negative to us. However, we have read many times already where sometimes the judgment is for you, not against you. So we're here at this particular point in time. Now, what is the first thing they're supposed to do? Destroy what? The places. Now, it's very important to know it means destroy the places. He's not out there to destroy the people yet. He's not out there to destroy and kill people left and right. is when you go into the land where you're going to possess it, the first thing I want you to do is go to the places where they have worshipped their Elohim, and I want you to destroy the places. Where are the places? They're the high mountains and the hill and under every green tree. It's a really odd word. All right. Now, we could kind of understand where they would be upon a mountain or upon a hill, right? We got that figured out. We said, okay, you know, there's big, huge statues. There's one in South America, you know, it's a really big, huge statue right on top of a big, big, big mountain. And that would be destroyed if you wanted, if God gave that land to the house of Israel. And, or in any other place. But he didn't give that land to Israel in the land of, we have today, the land of Israel. That's what was given to them. And yes, on all those hills and all those mountains. Now, what did they do? What did the people who worshipped on those mountains or worshipped on those hills or under every green tree? That's a horrible translation. Doesn't make sense. We'll talk about that in a minute. And now, so he wants everything. And because he said, and you had later on, he read it today, don't do this to me. I despise it. So in this sentence, of course, that's one of those, a commandment or a statement made later. But we're at this particular thing. One of the most interesting things is, the first phrase is, we have heard mountains, we have heard hills, and it's under every green tree. Now, just what do you think that means? Oh, we have some that didn't study.
Well, since the word literally means, and I'm taking away your thunder here, luxuriant or fresh, my theory is that it refers to evergreen trees, trees that would still be green in the winter, whereas some trees, they lose their leaves in the winter and they're barren in the winter. But there are trees that do not lose their greenery in the winter, and those would have stood out as being symbolic of something important, and they would have maybe thought of that as something to worship.
Daniel has to comment now?
Nothing new under the sun, right? What's worshipped today regarding green trees? Tammy's right. What's worshipped today is the same thing. Oh, look, it's an evergreen. It's a Christmas tree, whatever you call it. Makes a difference.
So we're going to learn a new word today.
It's still the same type of
thing. You know that? We're going to learn a new word today. What word do you think we're going to learn? You had a comment?
There's another form of worship that goes on about trees today, and it's called being green. They worship the earth, worship the trees, worship everything in the earth. People don't matter, but the trees and the earth matter.
Okay. What I want to present to you right now, if you can, put yourself not in our time. Put yourself in the time of at least Moses' time. Moses, the first time it's ever been said, the phrase. Now, that's a weird phrase. Okay. Before we go into learning the new word, there's in 1 Kings, chapter 14, this is now after the death of King Solomon. And this is the first time that phrase showed up. We're talking King Solomon's son, who was Rehoboam. All right? Now, what did Rehoboam do? And it says here in the 21st chapter is that when Rehoboam was the king of Judah, and he reigned there for 41 years, or started 41 years old, and his reign lasted for 17 years. And verse chapter 14, verse 21, and Jerusalem, the city which Yahuwah did choose. Very strong here. Now, what did he do? All right. He says now, yes, do you have a comment? 1 Kings chapter 14. And well, she asked for verse 22. Starting 22. It's 14th chapter, verse 22. I was the 21st. You thought I said 21st chapter? I thought you asked the verse. Oh, I'm sorry. And it says there, verse 22, Judah did evil. Oh. Judah did evil. What did they do? Verse 23. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill under every green tree. Judah was the first one to do this, not Israel. At least this is the first time it showed up in history. I mean, as we chronologically here we have here. It could have been in Israel before, but there's no kings in Israel yet. Right? No kings showed up. This came to pass in the fifth year, this is verse 25. Remember, he reigned for 17 years. That Rehoboam was at war now with the king of Egypt. Of Egypt. And of course, he lost. Okay. The next time it shows up is in 2 Kings, or one of the times it shows up. I'm not saying it's the second time. One time it shows up. It's 2 Kings chapter 16. And here again, it's one of the kings of Judah, verse 1. And then 20 years old, Asa, when he began to reign in Jerusalem, he reigned also for 17 years. And he did that was not right. And verse 3 says, and he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Oh, so now we see a pattern going here. We saw it first happening in the nation of Judah, or the kingdom of Judah. And now we're at this 2 Kings. And he says, this particular king of Jerusalem began to walk in the ways of the kings of Israel. Verse 4. And he sacrificed sacrificed the whole offerings in the high places on the hills and under every green tree. Now, so we have two examples here now of the kings. Whether they are the king of Israel or the king of Judah are doing something that's kind of spoken of in the book of Deuteronomy, which is not mentioned in any place in any of the other places in the Bible. I mean, in the Torah. Just those three. So we have to ask ourselves the question. Now, why is it so important for us to take a look and see what it has to say? Why don't we just go on and say, okay, no more under green trees. Or no more mountains. Or no more hills. Yes?
God was mad. We should know what makes him mad. He doesn't change.
We should know what makes him angry. And sent an army of Egypt against Judah because the king, Rehoboam, did these three things, which God said, don't do it. No, you think God got upset? It looks like he did, didn't he? When God sends an army, that army wins. It doesn't lose. Regardless how big they are or small they are, they don't lose. Now the 17th chapter there of 2 Kings also has that the children of Israel, verse 7, had sinned against Yahuwah, their Elohim. And what did they do? And they did this, verse 10. The children. Now, not talking about kings. We're not talking about leadership. We're not talking about, you know, the elders. We're not talking about the priesthood. We're talking about the people. Like you and like me. Like us. Alright? They started doing something. And he says, and they set them up images in groves in every high hill and under every green tree. There's that weird statement again. As odd images. Something to do with an image, right? Oh, so what's under every green tree is also on the high hills and also on the mountains. Oh, where is it? We've got to do some reading and understanding. Because, see, it's easy for us to say we don't worship on high hills. We don't worship on high mountains. I'm not saying that we worship under every green tree, but we need to pay attention to exactly why this is written down here. God didn't put this phrase in there, or that word even in Hebrew, for us to kind of say, well, that happened to them decades ago. It doesn't affect me. I don't have any green tree. I don't do anything under my green tree. I don't have any images of a green tree. Oh, somebody say, oh, wait a minute, the Christmas tree. Yeah, they have an image of the, you know, Messiah and the birth of Jesus. Is that what it's talking about? Oh, let's talk. Because what did they do? Well, we'll find out as we keep on going. Just be patient with me for a minute. In verse 11, and there they burnt whole offerings in the high places, as did the Gentiles whom Yahuwah carried away before them, and without wretched things to provoke Yahuwah to anger. So, what were they supposed to do the very first thing? Go to the places. Destroy the places. Oh. They didn't do it, did they? And lo and behold, they began to look at, oh, how did they, and Book of Deuteronomy goes later on in it, how did they worship their Elohim, that we may worship our Elohim in the same pattern and way that they worship, because it looks so wonderful. What did they do? What did the Gentiles, or the heathens, you want to call them, what do you want to call them, what did they do, and that we must be careful that the Israelites followed suit? What was on the high mountains? What was on the high hills? And what was under the green tree? Remember, there's three things listed. Are we learning something today? We haven't learned one word yet. I'll get to that in a minute. Verse 12. Really. For they serve idols thereof. Yahuwah had said to them, you shall not do such a thing. So we got an idea that all three places has to do with something called an idol. They're doing something that to worship their God, they have an image of some kind. Right? That's what you get a picture of so far, right? At least I do. Now, verse 13. And Yahuwah testified against Israel and against Judah, because they have not kept my commandments, my statutes, listened to my servants, the prophets. They all belong to God. They don't belong to anybody else. So, you'll find this phrase scattered throughout. You know, Isaiah has it, Jeremiah has it. I don't want to go down there, but I want to go to Ezekiel 6th chapter. Yeah, hopefully we could find some answers to some of these things. Because when I started doing the research in this thing, I wonder what that really means. Because see, I had the same idea you did. It must be the Christmas tree. No. It is not the Christmas tree. Remember, destroy the place. Not the tree, the place. Oh. So there must be something in association when they use this English phrase, under every green tree. It must mean not every green tree or all green trees, but a certain place. That's what the commandment says, right? So center in on the place, because that's what it's really talking about. It's not talking about a tree put into your house and put decorations over it, because that's Jeremiah talks about that one. All right, I'm talking about what we're seeing here and saying, where does that fit in our world? It means nothing to us. Because we don't look at it as being a place. We look at it as being a tree. We're going to find out here. Sixth chapter of Ezekiel. Because, you know, Ezekiel is one of those prophets that really loved just doing his job. Yank that by the head and pull over. You better talk here now. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to make your head so hard as stone that they can't even break in through it. I don't want to do that. Tough. Get up there and hit them with your hard head, because their head's going to break and yours is not. And spiritually speaking, of course. Sixth chapter. And the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel. This is really odd. Because Ezekiel was not from the house of Israel. He was from the house of Judah. He was actually a Levite. He was a priest. Right? And so I want you to prophesy against them. Now remember, Ezekiel's already where? Where is Ezekiel? The man. He's in Babylon. Israel was removed years and years and years ago. Now he said, I want to face against the mountains of Israel. That means the governments of Israel. Each one of those other tribes, or the 12 missing tribes, or all, what do you want to call it. You can do what you want to say, what you believe, what you want to say. But now he's going against them. And verse 3, he says, and say it to the mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahuwah Elohim. Thus says Yahuwah Elohim, in the mountain, to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high place. Weren't they already destroyed? Weren't they already gone? Weren't they already scattered? Is this a future thing, maybe? Or is it a thing that happened so long ago that has no bearing upon our world? That we never have to be affected by it. And your altars, verse 4, shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken. And I will cast down your slain men before your idols. Ooh, that's pretty powerful. Don't you think? Israel, northern Israel's gone. They dispersed and amongst the nations. Now God is saying to them, I am going to destroy your idols in your high places. Wait a minute, my high places are over there in Israel, and we don't live there anymore. Right? So we have an idea this is going to be bigger than what you might, what I or we may think. And he's going to kill them where? Where is he going to kill them? At the place of their idols. They're going to kill him. They're going to be killed at the place where they should have been destroyed when they entered in. They should have destroyed those places, including under every green tree. Verse 13. When he has done this job, he says, then ye shall know that I am Yahuwah. Then your slain men shall be among their idols, around about their altars, upon every high hill, and all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savior to all their gods, or Elohims, their idols. Okay, with that in mind, let's think about this for a moment. What does it mean, under every green tree? Does it really mean under every green tree? Or does it mean what? Every place something is taking place. Now, do trees grow on big mountains? Do they grow on big hills? Or do they grow more in the valley or on the plains? Huh? Now we're going to find something out. I hope you can tolerate me. The Hebrew word that's been translated for green, all right, it is ra'ana. It comes from a verb, which means to be grown or to be luxuriant or to be fresh or to be green. Now the adjective, because this is the case, it's an adjective, green tree, it means fresh. A fresh tree or a new tree. But in Hebrew, it does more than that. It talks about the trees that were worshipped because of their abundance of growth, what they produced, the food they produced out, the crops abundantly, lots of crops. So that's why we get the word, by the way, grove. When you think of a grove, an apple grove, pear grove, olive grove, and what other kind of groves there are, you know, we don't have to talk about. But there's a place, and it says, the place was an enclosed area. Just like on the high mountain, there was a place on the high mountain that was enclosed with their idol worship. On the hills, there was a place where they did idol worship. They did all the sacrifice. They did all the burning offerings. They did everything they're supposed to do. And God says, I don't want you to do it that way. I have a different altar. I have an altar. You don't do it on their altars. So in the groves, or in these wooded areas, that was producing crop. Now, an evergreen tree does not produce crops. Apples do. Pears do. Lemons do. Olives do. I mean, everything we have of plants that produces, even nut trees are a grove. We call it the word grove, and we know what the word means. It just means that, okay, that's where you plant trees to be able to produce it. Now, so what would you think that was taking place at the time when Moses said, under every green tree, the place. What was happening?
It would possibly have been something in regard to thank you to an offering to the trees who give us food, so we're worshiping the trees rather than the God that made the trees.
Yeah, there's gods of the wither, there's gods of rain, and there's gods of snow, and there's gods of winds, and there's gods of wheat, there's gods of carrots, they had all sorts of gods, all right? But the one that really they put the idols in, they began to worship there. What did they do there inside this grove? Remember, it's an enclosed place. Enclosed place. It's not out in the open, where everybody gets to see it. It's enclosed. Yes?
I don't know how else to say it, but copulation was going on. Most likely.
Well, that's an interpretation. I can't put it here. I haven't found that in written authority yet. And I know that's a statement, and people have that thing. There's another phrase about that situation which talks about something else, but it's a different kind of grove. We're not going to go there today. And like I said, take their wooden images or whatever they have, burn them. Take any stone they have, they've carved out, smash it. Get rid of it. But they didn't. Rehoboam didn't. He instituted them. Oh, that's fascinating. Now, I'm not saying you or I, but I'm saying sometimes we have what we call, be very careful with what I'm saying here, I don't want to interpret anything. sometimes the people are part of something that is to be enclosed and the public's not going to know about it. Right? Oh, that's not very good. That's just my thought. It's not the interpretation of what the Torah says. Yes?
I just think it's ironic that we so often, when we read the stories of, you know, the kings and whatnot, that we often wag our finger at Jeroboam for what he did as far as reinstituting the calf worship and whatnot. But here, Rehoboam wasn't really much better.
No, he wasn't doing it even. He instituted it first before. Now, he's also angry. Later on, you see, he's bigger anger at Israel, too. But we're talking about here, the reason why he separated the house, quote, separated the house of Israel from Judah is because of the actions of this king. Right? And what did this king do? Oh. He did what God said you are not to do. He did not destroy the places. He worshiped there. Now, do you think he kind of went there and worshiped the gods? No, because the book of Deuteronomy, we'll see later, he worshiped Elohim in the same manner as you were supposed to do, but he did it on a high place or in a hill or in the green tree places. And God was angry. Right? So how do you think God wants us to worship him? Well, now we know he's in spirit and truth. I know that. I'm talking about now during the time of Moses and what was going on. Because Moses said, he will choose a place. We read it. He will choose a city. Or he said, amongst the city, find one. And it wasn't until King David, I guess it was, before the city was actually chosen. It's quite a long period of time, right? When he found the one city that he had chosen. We read that there in 1 Kings, where Jeroboam ruled in the city which Yahuwah had chosen. Man, can you picture this? Now, just understand just a little thing. What I'm trying to get across. We have already read in Deuteronomy where you can be captured by something. What can you be captured by? You forgot? You will be captured by their Elohim if you don't destroy the places. But I don't want to do any harm to this person. They're human beings. They're flesh and blood. He didn't say that. The first commandment was to do what? Destroy the places. When you destroy the places, what would the people of the land do? They no longer can worship there. They're going to move away. Now, we're not saying that we should do it in our own city. We don't have that rule or regulation here. God's not saying that to us now. He's showing us a picture or a pattern. As we look through these things and pay attention to how God works, I hope that we can perhaps come and understand a little bit. What time is it? 1:45 almost? Okay. I'm going to close up pretty quick here. And back to Deuteronomy now. By the way, we only went to verse 2, right? We'll move along a little bit faster here. Verse 3, once again. And he also says, now, this is not one of those, you can call it, it's probably one of those statutes and judgment at the same time. And ye shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire under every green tree. Burn them down. But there's fruit, the trees are producing fruit. Burn it down. But there's food, we can eat it. Burn it down. Can't we just take some of their fruit and burn it down? You know how hard it is for people to burn a good-looking apple tree, produce an awful lot of apple trees, but God said, get rid of it. And he said, burn it down. How do you burn an apple tree down? You set it on fire like a forest. The whole thing burns up. Wow. I didn't know that one. So, it's really hard for us to say, how can you destroy such wonderful, nuts, wonderful lemons, wonderful oranges or citrus? Yes.
Especially in light of the fact that there's other texts of Torah that specifically say not to destroy fruit trees unless they are no longer producing fruit.
But he had to destroy the place because it will do something to you. It will lure you in and draw you away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's what it took place. And it happened to Judah first. Yes.
Well, it makes me think that God wanted to be recognized as the provider, and that the way they were worshiping the grove, it was really the fruit or the tree itself that was being worshipped.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to draw the attention to.
It's like they're worshipping the creation rather than the creator. In a sense. Now, I don't know what those idols look like. I don't care what they look like. I don't need to know what they look like. But he also said now, destroy the names of them out of that place. Oh, how do you destroy a name? You have to rename it. That mountain that had a pagan idol, got it rid of it? Yeah, okay, now. It's still named after that idol. Give it another name. Let that name die. Destroy it. Let it go and just have it be part of your language. All right? You shall not do so with Elohim. So we're at this point in time where now we're going to be in the next few verses. We'll get there in verse 8 and so on and so forth. But he says now, but you will do that in the place where Elohim, Yahweh your Elohim, has chosen out of all the tribes to put his name there, even to the inhabitants shall ye seek, and hither you shall come. And hither you shall bring your whole offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and your heave offerings and your hand and your vows and so on and so forth, so on and so forth. There you shall eat before Yahuwah, Elohim, and ye shall rejoice in that ye have put your hands unto, ye and your households. Therefore, Yahuwah, thy Elohim, has blessed you. So, God, we see in here that God wants all of them destroyed. Literally, literally destroyed. The names wiped out. And there's only one place. And it was Jerusalem. So God is centered in on one thing. He's not out there all over the place. Sometimes we have people say, well, God's everywhere. Well, not according to the Torah. He's in one place. He's not backstage, behind the bushes, or as Yeshua told his disciples, if they say he's there as desert, don't go there. You say he is in the hidden places chamber, don't go there. You say, well, he is over there, don't go there. Why? Where is he going to be? The place he is going to come to. Yes.
Back when I was first becoming a believer, I used to ask friends if they wanted to come to church with me, and they'd say, no, I don't need to do that. I can go out in the hills. That's where I go to church at. My church is in the hills.
So, my personal opinion, the reason why I'm bringing this thing out about those three places is to focus in on what the Torah is going to show us as time goes by and what the prophets are really saying when they said those three places and why God said, I want you to destroy the places. Because it will lure you. Now, where did God take these people in the first place? Did he take them to a lush place, a wonderful place, where there's an awful lot of, you know, gorgeous things around about them? No, he took them to a mountain, and down came fire and brimstone. But down came this huge smoke, and they're yelling and screaming and shouting, blowing like trumpets, and shaking the ground, terrifying them. And then that rock. Yeah, around comes the water. Yeah, okay. At least had water. But you know, he kept them back for a long time to test them out. Now they're entering into the promised land. As they enter the promised land, the first thing that Moses is saying here in this chapter 12 is destroy those three places. Ooh. But they didn't, did they? Some of them did, some of them didn't. Majority of them kept them. They even kept the names. They didn't destroy the names of those locations.